Done messed up, y'all. They done put Dukes and Bell at Jimmy's Tequila and Carnes right here off of Peachtree Industrial. We are about to have a great time with our friends from Michelob Ultra Atlanta. What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday, everybody. Mike, are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready for the World Cup? Team USA in action tonight. Paraguay, 9 o'clock is the first kick, guys.
Right.
And look, I only say this because I think a lot of people, it's been the build-up and the lead-up.
Right.
It's one of the reasons why we're here, Michelob Ultra, the presenter, obviously, for the World Cup. But I think now that it's here, hopefully more people will get engaged. You know what I mean? Because we've said it. It's been kind of quiet. We've been talking about the rooms not all being filled here in the ATL and what's been going on around the country. Team USA playing in L.A. tonight. But I hope people will get engaged with this and pay attention to it, Mike. And you know how this goes. Look, usually we as Americans follow this thing until our team is out of it, right? That's usually how this goes. With it now being in North America, though, and all these wonderful locations, including Mercedes-Benz Stadium, I don't know. Maybe people pay a little bit more attention, but the World Cup is finally here.
Yeah, man. Now, here's the question. I heard Steakhouse, I heard the Morning Shift, Andy Randy talking about it. You and I touched on it yesterday. What are your expectations for Team America? Because, you know, now, Carl, with the expanded playoff, now 32 teams advance to the second round.
Correct.
As opposed to the old, because they've expanded the World Cup format. So there really is no excuse. Win one match, and you're pretty much in. You know, and there's always generally two good teams and two not-so-good teams in each of the groups, and that's generally how it's been set for years. So if USA just handles their business, then hopefully we can be talking about some of those moments. Remember 94? Granted, it was an own goal, but we beat Colombia. And that was Alexi Lawless with the big red hair and the big baggy shorts. And it was a different time. I talked about the 94 World Cup and Ireland and Italy playing at the Meadowlands. It was bananas. New York City was upside down. I think we're going to have that same kind of juice here with the Spanish fans. And maybe some more when we get, again, one of the semifinal matches here at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah.
Which is known as Atlanta Stadium.
Atlanta
Stadium.
You're correct. It is not Mercedes-Benz.
Because Mercedes didn't spend money on FIFA.
World Cup. Spain versus Cape Verde at noon on Monday is going to be the first match at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. But our friends from Michelob Ultra, guys, giving you a chance to win tickets. Now, here's the deal. 2 o'clock right now until 4:30, okay, is when this is going to go. And if you are coming out here at 6 tonight, you're going to be late. All right? I'm just telling you. Ultra's giving away tickets to a World Cup match here in the ATL. But if you want to try to win those, their crew will be here between right now and 4:30. So I'm looking at Matthew, our guy, and that's what he told us. So I want to make sure everybody's clear because, Mike, we gave out some tickets yesterday up at the lake at the Twisted Oar, and I think some of our listeners showed up afterwards and were like, hey, they had already done the contest. So 4:30 today, guys, if you want to try and win these tickets.
Get on, man. We'll have this competition. It's almost like that game you play at Dave & Buster's, like the skeet ball type thing.
Yes,
but with
a
soccer ball.
Yes, it is.
It's hard. Right. But whether you have skills or not, I remember we did it on the Beltline a couple of months ago. It was like last month. Remember
we had that party there
at right across from Rathbun's. Where the hell were we, Bo?
Right there on the Beltline.
Yeah.
It
was so great. I can't remember the name of it.
Lady Bird.
Thank you, man.
Yes.
See, this is where it starts, kids. It's starting already. Short-term memory loss.
Hey,
here it comes. Sooner or later, it's going to be like a Dukes and what's his name? You know, like,
yeah.
I remember Carl that time. You're Carl, right? Anyway, sorry, I'm going to sound like Stadler and Waldorf. But that was a lot of fun. Same thing here today. And we never get up to Doraville, by the way. We're never up the Peachtree Industrial neck of the woods off Tilley Mill. So a lot of folks who never get to see us come by and see us today.
Yeah, man. There's a great farmer's market down the road here I go to. There's a lot of cool restaurants, and Jimmy's is one of them. Food is really good here, and Mike, the margaritas.
Oh, Genesis behind the bar. It's the ultimate margarita, and it is yum. So there's my vitamin C. I'm fighting scurvy today. I know you're a tequila man, but Mick Ultra, again, special today. Grab a Mick Ultra and have a good old time. I tell you what. I'm watching, you know, the hockey last night.
Yeah,
two things. I get so angry because I think it could have worked here to see what's going on with, you know, both Vegas
and
Raleigh, North Carolina, of all places.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things last night I was just so frustrated. But one thing for certain, soccer was so big here in 17 and 18. We ever get that magic we got with United when we started? We ever get that back? I know we still have the hardcore fans go.
Yeah.
But the supporter section, the crowds have dwindled a little bit. It's just not the same juice.
Yeah, I think you don't have the star power you once did. Like with everything, Mike. You know, your
the newness of it?
Yeah, you're white hot. And I told you that when it happened. I said, what happens with this team?
Right.
Mike and I were having a conversation. He was really amped up on the whole, you know, this is a great experience. And it was. And it is.
But is it sustainable was the question.
Yeah. And I said, when things cool off, because I saw it in Houston. You know, the Houston Dynamo came into existence like 06, 07. All right? We didn't get the Atlanta United until when? 17, 16, 17.
Right.
Right? So I saw the same thing where everybody was excited and it was going – and Oscar De La Hoya was part owner of that team. So he would show up and it was great until it wasn't. And when they started to not have the star power, people stopped going to the matches. And I think right now, coming off the season we had last year with Atlanta United, there's just, you know, Mike Conte, we've had the Jason Longshore, we've had these conversations. You keep waiting for it to click and then have that sustainability with the attacking offense. You know, 4 or 5 goals scored, Mike. There wasn't a match in 17, 18. We would go to, and we weren't going to get 4 or 5 goals.
And I talked about this, the newness of it. Remember Mercedes-Benz, they were putting the finishing touches on the roof and everything else. So it was at Georgia Tech. So we're outdoors.
That's right.
The environment, I mean, a sea of black, red, and gold going down Tech Wood. It was just, it's hard to explain how cool it was. But folks on board, especially, I'm looking forward to being downtown and seeing everything, all the new stuff at Centennial Yards. You know, as part of this, you know, this celebration that we're going to have with the matches and against Spain, Cape Verde Islands, but Spain, a lot of their fans already here in Atlanta.
Do you think, because of the fandom we have for Atlanta United, how much that helps the viewers here? Because look, what I'm telling you is there are a lot of cities who don't have any kind of professional soccer. And I don't know if those cities are going to be as interested. If maybe they are just because it's USA, but I do think having an MLS team in your city does help. People care about the sport overall, Mike. That's all. I'm not telling you, you know, our viewing is going to go off the charts.
Right.
But I do think for Atlanta, because we've had this experience with Atlanta United, more people may be interested.
And yesterday, you know, Western Oar was off the chain.
It's great.
In hindsight, probably should have just spent the night up there. But anyway, a good time, a blast, and so many new listeners and old friends we got to see last night. Thanks to Mick Ultra for getting us up there at Twisted Oar, and hopefully we'll do some more. Thanks to Ryan and his staff. Great time. But when that thing starts last night, the pomp and circumstance in Mexico City, with you know, it's epic. I mean, it really is. It's dramatic.
Yeah.
Today, Canada will have the same thing. They're playing up in Toronto against Bosnia and Herzegovina. You mentioned Team USA taking on Paraguay, our good friend Miguel Almiron. I don't expect Miguel to do anything. He doesn't do anything for us anymore.
No, he doesn't.
I expect him to do anything for Paraguay. But that'll be in L.A. tonight. Or 9 o'clock.
Meanwhile, guys, we do have a couple of stories we're following. We're going to talk to our buddy Joe Patrick, who covers the Falcons, coming up at around 2:40 today. The news late yesterday after talking about Storm Norton going on the PUP list, I said Storm Norton is done for the season. And
second year in a row.
Yeah, man. Look, this is like the Trice situation, Mike.
You know what? It sucks because, you know, here's a guy. He's not making, like, big bank. You know, if you're a first-round pick or something, here's a guy who's hanging on. And, like, he's making the NFL. He's trying to get to that pension level. You know, that's what I was thinking about, years of service. And that's, you know, I know fans don't think about it, but he's such a good dude. And he really has stepped in. And, man, we missed him last year. We had to go to Elijah Wilkinson. If you really feel for the guy, because, got to be honest, probably – Not like good odds of having an NFL career after this.
It's tough, man. I mean, when you've been off the field literally for 2 seasons, that's hard to overcome. And that's why, like, I'm talking about Braylon Trice, for those who don't know, who hasn't played a down for us because he's been hurt in both preseasons.
Right.
He was a guy that came out of Washington, guys, was the captain of that defense. He was there when Mike was there, and there were a lot of high expectations. But here's a guy that we don't know.
Right.
He is cleared. It has been practicing in OTAs, and I think they'll be out there for next week's mandatory minicamp. But I have no expectations for Trice, even though there were high expectations when he got drafted. For Storm Norton, for a guy that's, you know, really carved out a niche, Mike, as a swing tackle,
right?
It's just going to be tough after missing 2 complete seasons and coming back off of an ankle injury. And a guy asked me, literally, Dukes, what the hey did he do to his ankle? I have no idea.
Well, whatever it is. Well, I mean, you think about it. Who is it? He was involved with the Hawks, the former Duke star.
Grant Hill.
Grant Hill had the ankle. They never got right.
Yep.
They botched the surgery allegedly down, I think it's pretty well known now, down in Orlando. Never got right. It was always a good player, but never the same player.
Yeah. So that news is out there. We'll talk to Joe about that. And I don't know if you guys have seen it or not. I did retweet it today and put him up. C. Dukes. Follow me. Follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL. Did you see that dime by Tua Tagovailoa yesterday to Zachariah Branch? I mean, a deep ball. For all of you out there who says he doesn't have an arm, it's a fake narrative, okay?
Noodle arm.
Tua threw that thing last night. I saw the highlight, Mike, and I was like, okay. Then I saw another angle of it. He's dropping.
All right, you know what?
He's dropping dots.
Stop it. Stop it.
Dots.
Stop it.
You didn't see this?
I saw it. I'm going to tell you one thing. In the words of Allen Iverson, we talking about practice. Practice. You're talking about a man throwing a football in practice.
Where else is he supposed to throw it?
Practice.
In the parking lot?
In a game? No, we talking about practice.
Man, that was a dot. I'm just saying.
All right.
Him and Zach might be on the same page.
Now you're going to trigger the panics, people.
Look, it's not my fault that Tua's dropping dimes out there.
Right.
I just wanted to see.
In practice.
This is what we want to see him do, though, is deliver the ball down the field. Can I get some 40, 50-yard throws? That's what we need, Mike. We need explosive
plays. But I will say this, though. I'm stoked. We talked about with Dave Archer yesterday. I can't wait to see Zachariah Branch. I can't wait to see what he.
I saw him in that highlight after the ball was dropped right back in his bread basket.
He caught it.
Bam!
In practice. But I can't wait to see him when it's real.
Bam! Right there. 404-726-0929. You guys didn't see it? It's out there. Go ahead and check it out.
All right.
Hey, man, we need competent quarterback play. And as long as if that was Penix yesterday, Mike, I'd be praising him as well, saying it's good to see. But we've seen Michael do this. We've seen Penix drop the ball in deep routes,
right,
out routes. Matter of fact, the ball that what's-his-face got hurt on. What's up, Darnell?
Yes, that was a big sideline throw.
A big throw.
Yep, Darnell Mooney.
Yeah, man. So we've seen Michael Penix do it. But I'm just saying, I think there is a narrative out there about Tua and what he can and can't do. And, it's just not true.
All right. Practice.
More on the Falcons.
Talking about practice.
Coming up. Hey, Braves last night and White Sox postponed due to weather, guys. That game will be made up August 20th. So no game last night, but we will get into the Mets series with Grant today. As he said, I'm paraphrasing, the Mets suck, and they still do.
Yeah,
they're trying to work themselves out of this mess, and I don't know if they'll be able to.
I mean, we were even talking about who's going to be the first team to start selling. Well, you're 15.5 in the division, you know, and maybe you can make it 18 by the time this is over. But yeah, I think the Mets, you could, if they're already done, put the fork in them up there at Citi Field.
Yeah, man. And look, we lost that series, but hopefully we can get right back and win a series here against the Mets because, you know, again,
White Sox are a pesky team.
They're
young and dumb. They do a lot of dumb things on the base paths, but they still found a way to beat us, and our bats went cold in that second game. We wasted a good effort from Sale.
Yeah.
Guys getting picked off first base. We had.
So hopefully we'll see. We'll talk about that along the way. It's a Friday show, man. We're out here having a good time again. Where are we? Somewhere you want to be. Jimmy's Tequila right here off of Peachtree Industrial, guys. You can't miss it. And we'll be out here until 6 o'clock. And once again, our friends from Ultra. Michelob Ultra, giving you a chance to win tickets to a World Cup match right here in the ATL between now and 4:30. Their crew will be out here. As a matter of fact, I think they might be pulling up. But they'll be out here, and they got their own games going on.
Yeah.
So you can come by, hang out with us, get a margarita, and some great food here at Jimmy's. All right, we're coming back. When we do, we're going to talk to Joe Patrick at 40 after the hour. We'll get his take on all this stuff with the Falcons. But when we return, Mike, a lot of people saying it doesn't matter what happens in this next game. It's Dukes and Bell. We're out here having a great time, and it's a cool spot. Jimmy's Tequila right here off of Peachtree Industrial. Was talking to one of our loyal listeners about the Falcons. And, Mike, he lives on the south side, works up here, but he said he heard we were going to be here, and he was on Peachtree Industrial. Did a quick turn, came in, and then we started talking about the Falcons. And what's interesting is, you know, I said, hey, well how are you feeling? Because he says, man, I listen to you guys every day. And he says, I appreciate, you know, you guys shooting it straight with us. But he says, I'm a real fan in the sense of I'm not going to fool myself and say, hey, we're going to win the Super Bowl, like Cowboys fans, right? We're going to win the Super Bowl. But I do think we should be better. And so that got us in this conversation, and we were just talking about all the resources that our quarterbacks have now. And I mentioned this. You know, you got five guys in the building that have called plays at some point in their NFL career. You have arguably one of the best quarterback coaches in Alex Van Pelt, well-respected around the league, and he's been with Stefanski. Obviously, Tommy Rees and Stefanski are on the same page.
Right.
You have Bill Callahan also in that mix, who's been a bunch of different places and seen a lot. I just feel like if you wanted to say, hey, we have the necessary resources to make our quarterbacks better, I was saying to our listener, Mike, I feel like that's a big difference from last year. There were times last year where we all wondered about Michael Penix, the development, the footwork, what was going on. Well, maybe he didn't have the people in the building to help him correct those things.
Like I said, it really crystallized for me that game in Berlin just because I was close enough to where – because I sit up high at Mercedes-Benz, but I was close enough to see the interaction with the coaching staff, what was going on the sideline, and to see Michael Penix Jr. come and go, get the effing play in. You know, he's screaming at Zach Robinson. And I'm like, what more evidence do you need that there's some dysfunction here in however the play is being called, and give the man the resources and the tools to do his job? I think we all realize now that Raheem, and we just talked about it with our listener here, you know, it is what it is. He didn't hire good people, and he got fired because of it. You know, and that's a him problem. Now we've got a new group, everything you just touched on. You've got probably, what, 150 years of NFL coaching experience on that sideline right now.
Yeah, it's good, man. So hopefully all that stuff translates. But that was kind of our conversation. We'd love to see you guys out here as well. Thanks to our friends at Michelob Ultra. What are you doing with that Ultra right there, man?
I just made a – so this – I had the Ultra – the Ultra Margarita, the Ultimate Margarita?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I pour the Ultra in it.
Oh, nice.
So now, because it was very strong, and I've got to make this last till 6 o'clock, and I'm like, yesterday, I don't want to overdo it, which I kind of did, and you might tell by the last hour of the program, but we had a ball. I had a great time. Shout out, by the way, to Anthony, who's, in addition to working to have a real job, he's a referee. And he goes, hey, man, this is when I got to the bar. He bought me the drink.
Okay.
And Anthony left. He's already gone. He had to get to work.
Yeah, yeah,
but he
yeah.
goes, hey, tell Dukes you lay off the refs. He's a high school and does junior college refereeing.
Okay, man. Look, I respect the refs. I'm not one of those fans that, like, is always fussing at the refs. So I wasn't even that parent, man, because I know it's a tough, hard job, Mike.
Right.
Especially when these guys are – this is their second – some guy's third job.
Right. I told Anthony, I said, yeah, but you probably don't suck, unlike those other guys. But anyway, you know, good dude, big listener, and thanks for the drink, by the way. Great margaritas here at Jimmy's Tequila and Carnes.
Is the because I was looking at the menu, man. You see this menu? This menu reminds me of
– yes.
Right? All these pages.
You know, what's that place we go to at MGM whenever – it's been like a minute now, but we used to go out there for the fights with Canelo. I always say go to Mayo. You know that tequila bar at MGM that had everything? These guys have everything.
Yes, I do. It was back there heading towards the arena.
Yeah, remember on your way to MGM.
Yep.
But the arena.
I'm thinking about – what's the restaurant, Mike? We always talk about the menu, and it's like there's so much. Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, Cheesecake Factory. Sorry.
That's
there's a lot of options here.
Yeah, Jimmy's got a bunch of options, man. Some good food.
I'm going to get some carne asada tacos.
Ooh.
That's for me.
It sounds good.
You want to split some?
It sounds good, man.
Do a surf and turf. Get some shrimp tacos going.
They got everything here, man. They got steaks. I mean, seriously.
I mean, carne, for those, again, I should have took Spanish in high school. Mom made me take French. It's like, stupid.
Yeah, it's the language of the romantics.
Yeah, it is. Tu es très joli. Très joli.
Hasn't French gotten you?
Yes, it has worked out for me.
Okay.
It
has, That's what I was going to say. French ain't bad.
I dropped French one time on a chair. Never mind. Becky's in the car listening, judging, watching. She's playing golf. Probably can't hear this story.
Okay.
Dropped French on an Air Jamaica flight attendant on a trip to the Cayman Islands.
Yeah.
Boom. Worked like a charm.
Hit it off.
Boom.
You speak French?
Je parle français. Ma mère est un professeur de français. J'ai étudié français pour 12 ans au lycée secondaire en New York. That seems like I took high school French 2 years. That's basically what I said. My mom taught French.
Yeah,
it's a language I love. Here's one for you kids. Use this on a date.
It's funny.
Do people still
go
on dates?
Oh yeah, of course they do.
Isn't it just swipe right these days?
No, I mean once you decide that this person's worth like somebody I want to meet,
it's
you go on
simple.
A date.
There's a Police song off the album Ghost in the Machine. It's called Je très femme de toi toujours. I'm always hungry for you. It's a great rap, great line.
Yeah.
Je très femme de toi toujours.
So it's.
I'm always hungry for you.
I was just thinking. You said you took 2 years.
Yeah.
Trends on her 7th year French. And not because she wanted to.
Right.
She was ready to be done. And then she got to college. And they were like, you need 3 semesters of. 3? I just took 4 in high school.
No. I mean.
So.
Wow.
So,
she got to keep doing it?
So she's done now.
How many more verbs can you conjugate?
No, she's done. But sometimes I walk into a room and she's speaking in tongues in French. I'm like, what's going on in here? You know what I mean? She's like, that's that 7 years of French.
Oh,
I'm like, you need to go to France.
By the way, I always tell Carl, we talk about this. If you travel, south of France is different than the north of France. But, I mean, if you make an effort, you know, just like if you know, we come here, everyone makes an effort to speak English,
yes,
right?
Yes, they do. Yes, they
so
do.
So if you go to France, if you make an effort, the people are just like here. Yes, there are some jerks, but like there's jerks in New York City. But I've always had a good time in Paris. If you make the effort, they'll jump right in. You speak a little French, next thing you know, they'll speak English.
Yeah, everybody spoke English when we were over there. It was not a problem. But no, man, I'm just shocked that you have picked it up as well. But I didn't know your mom taught.
My mom taught language.
Because when she first started, she was like, I can't do this, Dad. I can't learn this language. And I was like, well, then she got in 2 years and it was like, you couldn't get out. She needed the extra credit.
More French.
So then she had to take it. Now she understands it, speaks it. It's great.
Tout le monde. But
no, I'm like, when are you going to use it, though?
That's just it. I mean, I use it in France or if I have a Haitian cab driver. The other thing is Spanish. So I'm sorry, Day-Day. It's when I use it. But Spanish, I've spent a lot of time with, you know, down in South America and Central America, and I speak like 10 words of Spanish. But I get by.
Yeah.
You know, the joke is the same thing. Make them laugh. I always go, ¿Dónde está casa de pipí? And they go, what? I go, el baño? They laugh. So where's the house of pee-pee? And that breaks the ice. Stupid, but it gets going. ¿Dónde está aeropuerto? Chica linda.
Yeah.
Ay, papi, there's basic words you need to know.
But I would say they're very similar. If you go to Mexico, any Spanish-speaking country, if they have or know some English, they're going to speak some English with you as well.
You're at the resort. You're going to be all right.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
You ever watch Zoom when you were a kid?
Who?
Zoom, the TV show. I'm dating myself. There was Sesame Street, and as you got to be a teenager, there was Zoom.
I don't remember Zoom.
Okay,
no.
Zoom was on public broadcasting.
Okay.
And they had this ob language. You put an OB or an AB sound in front of every vowel. So Carl is Cobberl, and Michael's Mabai Cobble. And it gets you to think in another way of processing a language. And my mom and I used to speak it. So you'd be at the supermarket, there's a big fat person. Mom goes, Lubbock, Epit, Epit, Big Fat Person. And it's. So I'm just saying. By the way, somebody hit me up at Mike Bell.
We call that pig Latin.
Yeah, well, it's named Adave, but I'm saying, but Bob was away. Like, so Day Day is Debbie Debbie.
Yeah, that ain't nothing but some pig.
You know what? All right. Well, can you speak it? Give me some Bob, baby. Say, I like the Falcons.
Yeah.
I like the football Cummins. It just gets you thinking in another way.
Okay.
So you process quickly.
I was not familiar with that. The pig Latin I'm familiar with, but I was not familiar with that.
All right. Am I the only guy in Atlanta who spoke Ob? Somebody will hit us up. It was on Zoom.
That's interesting.
And again, I'm dating myself. There was a thing called, never mind. I give up.
No, man. Look, by the way, we were talking about this because Mike was talking about France and we're drinking.
Trinity's on 7 years of French.
Oh, yeah. She's done now.
Wow. I mean,
they should give her a certificate with all that damn French she took.
All you need to know for guys, tu es très belle et très jolie. You're beautiful. You're pretty.
And that works?
That's it. Just drop it.
Boom.
Make it work. Trusty, our buddy who's a big Saints fan, Saints are in Paris this year as part of the international game.
Yes, they are.
And so I was giving him a tutorial when we were up there in Indy.
Yeah, look, basics, as Mike said, and then go from there. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. We got a few things we do need to talk about. One of them, Mike, is does it matter what happens in this next game in the NBA Finals? Because everybody just feels like this is the Knicks thing to win. I want you to hear Mike Brown talk about OG Anunoby's shot being one of the most iconic shots in New York basketball history.
It's unbelievable. You know, tip, how he had to control it and tip it in from. I mean, like I said, you know, that has to be the most iconic shot in the history of New York basketball. I mean, I'm not you guys. You guys know better than me. But it was just unbelievable.
Tomorrow night, 8:30 in San Antonio, even if the Spurs are able to find a way to win, you still got to go back to the Garden for Game 6. And I just don't think they make it out of there. I don't think they make it out of
there. Look, if the Knicks go on to win this, yes, there's a statue right there. Or, I mean, that'll be an oil painting, or you can get that thing framed. I would think in New York, it's not a specific shots from the 69 or 73 championship run. It was the Willis Reed moment, freaking out the Lakers, when Willis Reed comes out on one good knee. And that's New York Knicks mythology. You know, you and I have talked about that. My dad used to invoke that you couldn't take a sick day because Willis Reed didn't take a day off. But Pearl and Clyde, I mean, there were so many moments. Bernard King, you know, but no, nothing like that. That's, as we always say, the transformative moment. If they go on to win, it's like a lot like the 86 Mets, Carl. They're, you know, there's dramatic moments in that World Series run. There's been dramatic moments in this series.
Yeah, there really has. Can I hear Wimby talk about how this is going to go in his head?
What's going through my mind right now, I think it's going to go one of two ways. One of two ways. And a bad one and a good one. And I know the bad one would be giving up. The good one would be getting stronger through this, getting more together. And I know this is what we're going to do.
We will see what happens tomorrow.
You think you bounce back in that? Or is that just something that they're such a young team? We know they're talented, Carl. We know they're athletic. But they don't have an OG. They don't have, like, who was it that got all those rings? It was Robert, God, I'm going brain dead again.
Who, Robert Horry?
Robert Horry. There's always an OG on, like, those Spurs teams. Or even, like, a Draymond or a tough, or, like, in the old days, what they need is, like, a Charles Oakley type on that team to protect Wemby.
Yeah,
And maybe in next year's version they'll have that type of guy.
I don't know if they recover, Mike. If they're too dumb, and I mean this in a positive way, we're so young and we are so naive that we don't even understand how devastating this is supposed to be, and you just come out and play your butts off like they did, then they win the next game. But I don't think that's the case.
Who's the veteran coach on that staff, though, who didn't
– Pop.
But I'm saying, it's like, who's telling the players, stop shooting threes with 10 seconds left on the 24-second clock?
Well,
I mean, you did the dumbest thing you could possibly do.
Yeah, look, I think Pop was probably in that film session, as he's been in a bunch of these film sessions, and probably said exactly what you just said. But I don't know if they are that naive, not dumb, but naive to think they shouldn't come out and respond. Or it's completely in their head, and they're like, we were up 30 on these dudes and blew it, and that's all you're thinking about? So you just don't get into a rhythm tomorrow night, and the Knicks end up
winning.
Have
you seen – I was saving it for Guy Talk. I'll just mention it briefly. Have you seen how many Knicks fans are getting access to tickets?
Oh, man.
Down there at the Frost Arena?
Yeah, they're going crazy because they think they're about to win it.
There may be 5 to 7, maybe more, 1,000 Knicks fans in San Antonio on Saturday night.
Yeah, which is bananas. Hey, real quick, last night, Mike, did you watch it? Hurricanes?
Yeah.
Man,
Vegas. It's a wrap.
You think it's done?
I think Kane's got this.
4-2, they win last night. Can I hear the final call?
And this one is over. We don't get the official horn. Now we do. Carolina, 4-2 winners in game 5. They take a 3-2 series lead, and we will talk to you in Sin City. I know they like gold out there, but a big piece of silver is waiting for Carolina.
Yeah, baby, it's about 37 pounds. That's the Stanley Cup, and I think they're going to get it. Man, it's a great series. The goaltending has been so up and down, and they've had to juggle goaltenders for the Canes. But last night, and by the way, Sean McDonough, as much as I give him hell, he does a hell of a job. He does. And Ray Ferraro, former Thrasher, it's a really good vibe, and I think the Canes wrap it up. I think the Canes have a party in Vegas, brother.
All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Joe Patrick. I know Big Bo, we're running late. It's Dukes and Bell. We are live at Jimmy's Tequila right here off of Peachtree Industrial. Come on and hang out with your boys. Hanging out today at Jimmy's Tequila right here off of Peachtree Industrial. It is Dukes and Bell. Just had another listener roll up. Said, man, listen to you guys. So we appreciate that, man. We really do. Thank you guys for making Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Atlanta's number one sports station, and Dukes and Bell's number one sports show. Let's talk to our man, Joe Patrick, who is covering our Falcons, guys. Does a terrific job of doing that. And Joe's been up there for OTAs. He'll be up there next week for mandatory minicamp. And, Joe, as you join us on the Sweet James Accident Attorneys Hotline, the news yesterday about Storm Norton, I guess for me, has there been any indication that this was in the works for Storm Norton, or were we always kind of under the perception that Storm Norton was going to be back?
Yeah, you know, I think that there was a perception that he was going to be back, but maybe it was a misconceived perception because, frankly, we just didn't have a lot of context about his injury situation. And to kind of go back on it, he was kind of a bit part player in training camp last year. I don't think he's ever like fully participating. He had this ankle, and then he does not start the season healthy. I can't remember if he started on PUP or he went on the injured reserve. And then he was about to come back. They actually initiated his 21-day like return to play in the middle of last year, and then he got hurt again. It sounded like it was a similar injury, and at that point they put him down for the season. But we never really got great detail on what exactly the injury was, and it seems like it was a pretty significant one that he may have still been recovering from potentially heading into this year. And so this bum ankle that he's got has basically kept him out of action for the better part of the last 2 years. And so with that being said, like it's hard to really see him being a big part of this team's offensive line going into the future, especially when there's so many kind of new pieces and a new offensive line coach. So certainly throws his career into turbulence, which you hate to see, but also I think for the Falcons, they got to kind of rethink some things, and obviously they've made some moves along those lines.
Yeah, we said it earlier in the show, Joe. I agree with you. It almost sounds like his career with the Falcons is probably in peril at best. So what about the new guys? It's nothing about really. This move was more about Storm Norton than Juwan Taylor. Do we believe Juwan Taylor will be fine in the right tackle position?
Well, you certainly hope so as well, but he also has not really been a huge participant in OTAs. Now, he has been out there, but it sounds like he is dealing with something, and even Matthew Bergeron, I believe in some of the sound that we played on several of the shows this week, has said like he's dealing with something. He just kind of threw that in there, and it's like, okay, like hopefully it's a little something and not a major something. But obviously, the team felt it was necessary to go out there and make a trade, and they didn't give up a pick necessarily, but they lose some positions on the picks with the pick swap and then the ability to add Wanye Morris, who has kind of been in and out, mostly disappointing in his career with the Chiefs thus far. So we'll see if he can turn around his form here in Atlanta where he gets to move home. But I think there's going to be some moving pieces, especially if Juwan Taylor, you know, it's kind of funny they have both of these former Chiefs offensive tackles now. But, you know, Juwan Taylor's kind of been in a similar position since he moved to Kansas City. So I think the Falcons will certainly be hoping they can get something out of either of those two guys. And I did note when we were last there earlier this week on Monday, it was actually the seventh round rookie out of Ohio State, and I'm blanking on his first name now, but Onyanwa is his last name. He was actually with the starting group at right tackle. Now, they weren't actually doing any contact or not in pads or anything, but I thought it was notable that he was out there, which I think is basically just down to attrition with what these guys are dealing with right now at that position.
Joe Patrick joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We're talking Falcons next week, mandatory minicamp. It's a big week for the Falcons as everybody will be there. Obviously, everybody thinks James Pierce will be there. What are your feelings there? Do you feel like that? Have you gotten any sense that that's going to happen, or you really don't know right now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you said everybody's going to be there. I hope everybody's there. I hope James Pierce Jr. is there. I think it would be great. You know, I would love to get to talk to him, you know, but I don't highly doubt that will happen. But, you know, I think that there's even kind of more interest on it, frankly, this after what Kevin Stefanski said when my colleague Josh Kendall of The Athletic asked about him again. And we've asked, one of us in the media has asked Kevin Stefanski about James Pierce Jr. I think in every press conference he's done during this OTAs, because, you know, we got to ask the question, even though we kind of know that we're going to get the non-response. But, you know, this time he said that, you know, basically he admitted that they'll say something next week, or they'll you know, there will be something different that he'll say when we get to next week, obviously when players have to report it being mandatory, with none of this being mandatory so far. So we'll see what happens, guys. I kind of like, and leaning towards him not being there again. And there have been times, I know when Raheem Morris was the head coach, you know, there were times where they had basically agreements with some certain players that they were not able to attend because of a family matter or some sort of personal situation. Then it was basically an excused absence. That could be the case with James Pierce Jr. Maybe he shows up. I don't know. I guess we'll, you know, we're all on pins and needles, kind of waiting to see something from him, whether it's next week or in training camp.
Talking to our man Joe Patrick, guys, live from Jimmy's Tequila and Carne with Mick Ultra for the World Cup in swinging Doraville. Hey, man, the quarterback battle. Now, we've had some fun. Dave Archer said, you know, don't believe the hype. He thought that there was, even though it's not the same kind of reps, that he thinks the gap is closed between Penix Jr. and Tua. Is that your feeling? I mean, or is Tua still got a real big advantage because he's just been able to do more because he's 100%?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Tua has an advantage. I feel like Alex Manfeld, the quarterback's coach, kind of admitted to that. I think he basically did say that, you know, Tua has been able to do more of the reps, has some more experience with some of the things that they're wanting to implement this year, obviously with the under center stuff and the under center play action, which is, you know, a pretty big difference from what Michael Penix has done in his career. But that's not to say Michael Penix can't do it. And it's worth noting right. that, you know, Alex Van Pelt has said that, you know, everything they've been asking Penix to do, he's been doing a good job. And I think that that's the reason why. And I would agree with Arch that, like, it is a much closer competition at this point than I would have expected, just based upon purely Penix's health and his ability to participate at this time of year. I, frankly, was unsure if he was going to be participating at all when we were back in, you know, March when Tua was signing with the Falcons and things like that. So it is closer in that respect, but I do still think that Tua, you know, he just has the edge, and he's got, just got that extra experience, which you just can't really make up for, you know, as a competing player. But, you know, Michael Penix also has certain talents that, you know, Tua can't do. When you talk about the big arm, and I've been saying this on a lot of the shows, guys, but, like, when you think back to Kevin Stefanski's career, one of the quarterbacks that really helped vault them to being a playoff team was Joe Flacco, who was, you know, a big kind of power arm who stood in the pocket and fired those balls to the, you know, outside of the numbers, which we all know Michael Penix can do. So I think it's going to be a really fun competition. Once we can start to see these guys kind of both with like an even playing field, with a level playing field, and both getting kind of split reps. And that's the other thing I want to say is, you know, I try to kind of underplay like the amount of competition that's actually happened so far, just because right. they haven't been really scrimmaging and really kind of feeling the pressure of the pocket around them when they're throwing these balls.
Real quick, Joe, just as a follow-up, we've heard the sound bites, and thanks so much for getting that audio for us up there at the branch. We heard Bijan say it. Drake London said it this week. Just seems like there's more accountability with this coaching staff than the prior.
Yeah, that seems to be the word. And also, they talk about, like, we're working, we're doing the work. And that's exactly the kind of thing that Kevin Stefanski said when he was introduced. As you know, in his introductory press conference, he said, we're going to be about that work. And I feel like when we hear about the players, when they're asked about – yeah, what's the vibe, or kind of like, what is this coaching staff bringing to the team? What are they bringing to the table? It's about working hard, being accountable, which is kind of boring, but I think, you know, if you're kind of a tenured Falcons fan and you've gone through the mostly downs of the last 8 years, then that's probably music to your ears to hear that kind of thing, because I think a lot of fans were kind of fed up with like the high energy and the high vibes and all that stuff. I think that they just want to see results at this point in time, which again goes to the point of this quarterback competition. It's not just competition that's going to happen at quarterback. It's competition that's going to happen all over the place. But I think that that should give Falcons fans a lot of confidence that you are going to kind of have a standard that you have to meet in order to prove that you're capable of playing for the team before you actually go out there on the field. And that should give everybody, I think, a lot of confidence.
So heading into next week, it's not training camp, but what would you tell me that Joe Patrick is watching? Put the quarterback stuff aside. What are you watching? Yeah. What are you going to find yourself most interested in?
So I'll go kind of offensively and defensively. Offensively, I continue to be intrigued by how they're going to use Kyle Pitts in this offense. I think that there's a great opportunity for Pitts to be a lot more of a chess piece than, frankly, he was allowed to be, really, for much of the past 2 years. You know, obviously, Zach Robinson in 2024, they were running 11 personnel, like the most in the league, 90-something percent of the time. And when you're running 11 personnel like that, your tight end is almost always going to be in line. They're probably going to have to do a lot of blocking, a lot of like kind of just like chipping and checking and kind of, running a flat or something like that. He got a little bit more, especially when Drake went out of the lineup. They had to get a little bit more creative. They went a lot more 12 personnel at that point in time last year. And we saw Kyle Pitts really reap the rewards of that. And I think part of that is also on Kyle in being prepared to play and really doing a good job of executing when he went out there. So I think if he can kind of bring that level of form that he had in those last five games of last season to this Kevin Stefanski offense, I think that they're going to have a lot of fun in being able to use him in a lot of different ways. That, frankly, I think that was kind of the reasoning why he was drafted. And so that will be interesting to watch. And then on the other side of the ball, I'm just kind of curious to see, it is more kind of nuts and bolts, like who's claiming the positions, who's going to be the linebacker next to Divine Diablo. I think Christian Harris is in the lead there, but certainly there's competition, lots of guys, similar story on that defensive line where they're going to mix and match all year long with those guys in games, but who will kind of emerge as the go-to guys? And can Zach Harrison, for example, kind of really bounce back from his injury where I thought he was playing at a Pro Bowl caliber when he went out last year? So lots of kind of fun personnel things on that defensive side of the football.
It's our man Smoking Joe Patrick, guys. Give us Falcon OTA breakdown here. And Joe, we asked Arch the same question about the linebackers. You said Christian Harris next to Divine Diablo. Diablo will kind of be doing the Caden Ellis thing. Arch feels that Jalen Walker can be a Swiss Army knife, but more about walking up to the line, be the classic edge rusher. Because of his injuries and missing time, it's almost like a free agent in a sense, if he can hit the ground running and be the guy we think he can be.
Totally, Mike. And I actually thought that, and I've told people maybe it sounds like coke to say when obviously James Pierce Jr. is going through all this stuff and the Falcons might not be able to have him, you know, for some period of time going into next season. But, you know, I thought when they were perfectly fully healthy, Jalen Walker, I think, was the better player. He's like a three-down player who impacts the game on first, second, and third down with what he's able to do against the run. It's probably one of the reasons why he was drafted ahead of James Pierce Jr., who was at one point one of the highest, you know, prospects in that draft. So I'm with you. Like, I'm curious to see how Jeff Ulbrich uses him. Obviously, he had those interesting quotes about kind of comparing him to maybe using him in a Caden Ellis type role, but I don't think he's going to necessarily be playing off ball linebacker, but I think he might be playing it some, you know, and that could allow them to get different guys in there on the edge, Braylon Trice, et cetera, et cetera. So lots of different ways they can mix and match on this defense, which I think is really fun.
Joe, it's always fun, man. Next week will be a lot funner because we'll have some more info to talk about.
Yeah.
But, man, always good, man. Have a great weekend. Appreciate you stopping by and filling us in. Again, Storm Norton, guys, done for the season. Joe, thanks again.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
No doubt. It's tough because, you know, one thing we give credit to Terry Fontenot, who still makes his home here in Atlanta, is good job on the depth of the offensive line. And Storm Norton was one of those guys. But unfortunately now, as we said, career at a crossroads, and you feel for the guy, and I hate to lose a depth piece like that.
I do too. All right, man, coming up, NFL, there's stuff going on, including what Tampa's coach had to say about Baker Mayfield. Also, we'll get back into the NBA Finals and the adjustments we think the Spurs need to make. We'll find out what's on Day-Day's mind as we're broadcasting live, guys, from Jimmy's Tequila right here off of Peachtree Industrial.